Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm so glad you were able to join me. I look forward to this time every day that I can share the word of the Lord with you. And I just praise God for that you're listening and that your heart will be open to receive what God has had me to share this week. I've been sharing a message entitled Walking in Truth or Avoiding the Dangers of Self-Deception. Now, it's not one of those messages you can get real happy about, except if you love the Word of God, you'll get happy, because while the Lord does love to comfort and encourage us and spur us on, yet we have to be very sober and take all the Word of God, because one of my concerns is that so many of the scriptures that I've been sharing, and I've been sharing a few and still have many to share about the dangers of self-deception, is that these are addressed not to the ungodly or unsaved and wicked. They're living in deception. They are blinded by the god of this world. They're walking in darkness, and they do not have the light of life. But there is a danger that if we take our focus off Jesus, the light of life, if, you know, the word does say, John says that if our eye, it be not single, if our eye is in darkness, how great the darkness. And there's a possibility that we, by allowing our soul nature, our fleshly nature, the pride of life, our desires, not just the lusts of the body, but the lusts of our ego, desire for recognition, pride, ego, conceit, things like that, can cause us to come into a place. Our actions and behavior can produce self-deception. And as I went into the Word of God, I saw three general areas. Three general areas we can be deceived is attitudes toward ourselves, attitudes toward material possessions, and then attitudes, deceptions in our heart, our spirit man, the result of misunderstanding or just plain ignorance of the Word of God. And so we've looked at the dangers of self-esteem, attitude towards self, of conceit, which is an excessive appreciation of one's own worth or virtue. And we were looking at sanctimony, which is a belief that we're affecting piety or hypocritically devout. In other words, basically, a hypocrite. And the Word of God says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And the wicked says in his heart in Psalm 10, I shall not be moved, for I shall never see adversity. God has forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. A wicked person feels that he's above adversity. And it's a very powerfully ensnaring trap to be caught in. Just for example, the Pharisee. Remember that incident that Jesus talked about? The publican hardly lifted his eyes to heaven, and he beat his hand on his breast. He said, "Oh God, be merciful to be merciful to me, a sinner." And the publican, or the Pharisee, stood viewing him, and he said, "Oh God, I thank you. I'm not like that man." The conceit, the arrogance, the delusion in his own heart. He didn't see the wickedness that was in his own heart, the pride. That's why Jesus said, "Thou hypocrite, take the beam that it's out of your own eye, so that then you can see clearly to take the mote that's out of your brother's." Isn't that so true? It's easy for us to see the faults in others, but we can't see the faults in ourselves. That's why David, who is the man after God's own heart, he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Much of these scriptures apply, as I said, not to the unsaved, but to the people of God who have gone off into error. who have gone off into self-deception. Jeremiah, the second chapter, verse 35 says, "Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me," referring to the Lord. "Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned." Jeremiah 5, 11 and 12 says, "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord." Now, they didn't think that, but that was the Lord's opinion. "They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine." Beloved, we cannot expect to have peace when we are self-deluded and in sin. There's a stern warning found in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, verses 18 through 20, and I'm going to read that. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 18, "Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law." Wow, that's pretty heavy. This is speaking to the children of God. You say, "Oh, Sister Glass, that's Old Testament." Well, there are plenty of scriptures in the New Covenant that warn us about an evil heart of self-deception. It talks about an evil heart of unbelief. That's one that just comes to mind. And so, beloved, we need to ask the Lord to search our hearts. We need to search our hearts and say, "God, please forgive me for arrogance. Please forgive me for hypocrisy. Please forgive me for an overestimated opinion of myself." Hallelujah. In Proverbs, the 30th chapter, verse 12, the word says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." Some of you want a New Testament scripture, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 10. This is New Covenant, beloved. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 10. Let me start at verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And you say, "Sister Glass, those are just sinners." Beloved, the sad thing is, I know for a fact much of this exists in the church world today, right now, as I'm speaking. Perhaps in the church that you go to, perhaps even in your own life. And the Word of God says that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's just as clear as anything. Be not deceived, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So, beloved, if we will repent, if we will understand, if we will get a conception of what our actions are doing, what our thoughts, how we have walked in self-deception, God will forgive us. Also, there is another arena, an attitude toward material possessions in which we can be deceived. We can walk in self-deception. Material prosperity does not necessarily mean spiritual prosperity. Why? Let's look at the New Testament again. This is Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 17. Jesus is saying to the church of Laodicea, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." That's true spiritual poverty. Sometimes prosperity, material prosperity, can lead to self-deception. We said, you know, we saw that under the old covenant when Israel got into the promised land and they were eating and satisfied and full. The Lord said, beware lest you forget the Lord your God, because it is He that gave all those blessings and benefits. Well, beloved, human nature hasn't changed. And as I say, thank God we're under a new and a better covenant. But the God of the Old Testament is still around. He has not passed. He is still there. The attributes of God are the same. He's all loving and He's all just. He hates iniquity. He hates sin. He will judge sin. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. So, beloved, don't let prosperity lead to self-deception. Psalm 30 and 6, just a few scriptures. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. This is the prophet Hosea, chapter 12 and verse 8. And this is, again, unto the tribe of Israel, Ephraim, who says, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And then in Luke, the 12th chapter, let's look at verse 16 through 21. That's Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 16 through 21. Luke 12, and let me get over to 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall these be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Hallelujah. Well, my time is coming to a close, and I would like to just bring this broadcast to a close by sharing a letter that's come in from a partner writing from Garland, Texas. Sister Judith, I want to thank you for your letters. God sure does use you to tell us what He wants us to hear. It was right on. The first letter was for all of us, but as usual, God knows how to speak to us individually. I needed to let go and believe God for Him to work and that He will bear my burdens. Your letter for me came the other day. I need to spend more time with remembering God is in everything and to trust and obey Him. Thanks so much for listening to God and spreading His word. I'm praying God's will for your ministry. I know you'll continue to pray for my family and God's will. God bless you. A sister writing from Garland, Texas. Praise God. Well, I thank you for listening. And if the Lord's nudging you, be sure to note down that contact information. Email me through the website or drop me a letter at the post office box. God bless you. I love you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's for everybody.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.